students say where educational leadership resides within Nigeria.
You mean like governmental leadership?
No, truly at the school level.
Oh, that's really a little bit difficult to
I think you are referring to high school, secondary school.
Yes.
They're two almost parallel systems. You have the government level where they own schools, the public school system, and then you have the private schools where they are run either by a board, if they had been, let's say, owned first of all by the missionaries, they're run by the missionaries' existing board, or by individuals. A lot of individuals have actually run their own schools and still own them, a lot of them, maybe up to 30% of the schools in, at least I'll talk about the western area. Mostly in the north and possibly the east, they're still mostly government owned. So it's either at the federal level or at the state level. So you could have in the same area federal government schools, state government schools, and then privately owned schools. And they follow their own curriculum, actually.
But are there like national standards that they have to try to match? As
not standards, but curriculum. You have a curriculum that is given at that umbrella level, but matching standards to those, you know, creating standards. No, it's just that overall.
No child left behind.
No, just the world. Well, one thing I'd like to actually bring out is that if you're looking at the British and the American models in higher education, that maybe one thing that Penn State could look at is that British universities right now, to expand their enrollment, are going out to countries and Africa a lot, particularly their old colonies where they have a relationship, and rigorously setting up enrollment recruitment periods. So within, say, if you divide the year into two, every half of the year would have an enrollment recruitment period where they go out and go around all the schools. And they are actually creating a lot of partnerships with the schools where they even establish what they call a foundation year. And some of the courses are done within Nigeria, preparatory to them completing it in the UK. And that might be something that Penn State might also want to consider. Even though we're looking at it in terms of them coming over to Penn State to complete their education, at least it starts off in Nigeria or in the country that is targeted, and that creates possibility for increased relationship and collaboration. And one of the things that, as Michael has said, is that Americans tend to be very inward looking, more so than maybe their European counterparts, where people there have a better idea of what's going on outside the world than an American student might have. So that may be some way of developing a reason why partnership may be beneficial to Penn State, a place like Penn State.
Could you imagine at a distance foundation year in, for example, Nigeria, preparatory to people coming here?
Yes, I can very much imagine it. And funnily enough, I'm in a way doing that right now. One of the things that we want to do is to focus on distance learning and helping to bridge some of the gaps that we've identified through distance. But right now, what I'm doing is I'm teaching a module for a consortium in England, which is called the NCUK. It's the Northern Consortium of UK Universities. It's a group of about 11 or 12 universities. And that, because I'm here now, I'm doing it online with the students in Nigeria and marking their work, sending it back to them via email and so on. And we're going to be doing more of that. So definitely distance learning has a huge role to play I'm talking mainly about Nigeria, because Nigeria has so many people. We've got 200 and something million people. Oh, sorry, 120 odd million people. Let's say 50 million are university material. We have what? How many? 20 or so.
There's 60 now at this point. You know, they have
universities.
Private and public and everything combined.
At different levels of
quality.
Of quality, that's the word. At different, varying, wide, quite a wide range of. So there are a lot of people that are disenfranchised in that system and who are disenfranchised because they have no universities to go to, who are disenfranchised because they don't have the money to attend university. And I've always been conflicted personally that I've been able myself to benefit from a very good education. My children have been able to benefit. But I recognize the fact that my children are by no means the most intelligent. We're just sort of middling, you know, in terms of intelligence. And there's so many people back home who are brilliant, absolutely brilliant people who don't have that opportunity to unlock their minds. And unlocking that mind is in two or three different ways. One, mastery of language. I'm not advocating per se English, but in a country that has been colonized by externals and that has had a language imposed on them, a language that they don't really understand, their own language is not either written or hasn't reached a level of literacy that is high enough to grapple with the kinds of concepts that we're talking about, you know, abstract concepts. What happens to them? They're not able to say what's going on in their minds, and it's all trapped in there. So there's that problem of language, and then of course accessibility and all the issues we talked about yesterday. So it's very important that we find a way to unleash this. I also have a second problem, and that is that usually we talk about grassroots, or we've got to go to villages, we've got to go to, you know, there are all these people in the villages who don't have it. But even the schools that are supposed to be excellent are not, because they don't have a lot of these things that make for excellence. And I believe in a country should have excellent institutions as well. So disenfranchisement comes in different forms, and we've got to realize that. That's something we can do for
that. I don't want to derail. I think that you just struck on something that I think was that I used to talk a lot about in regard to the sort of local American K-12 system, where I felt very much as if the sort of a voucher system or a system in which learners could move from poorer schools to better schools was conceding failure. That I think that it's better to have it's better to invest and create excellence and opportunity instead of abandoning something and just saying, well, it exists someplace else, so let's relocate these students. I know it's a very different set of circumstances, but while I was in Slovakia, and I worked at Comenius University for 4 years, one of the things that we would do, and you know, learners there do not have a lot of money also. There's not much mobility outside of Central and Eastern Europe. And so many of them, very, very bright students, would go to Comenius University because it was for free. In fact, they got subsidized a little bit by the government as part of the legacy. But what would happen is, obviously, the quality was not the same of the business programs that might be in Western Europe or in North America or in Australia or wherever the case may be. So frequently, learners very much wanted to, in their senior year or so, go and would try to get go on an exchange program. They try to get sponsored for an internship at a company or something like that. But they also wanted to get their degree at the institution at Comenius. So what we would be doing was providing them the opportunity through distance education to continue their education at Comenius, while also having the opportunity to either study or work internationally. So I felt as if we were building capacity at the local university, which may already have had, on an international level, reasonable capacity. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But it also reduced the problem of connectivity, because the connectivity in Slovakia at the time wasn't great. But because they were in Western Europe or North America, their connectivity was quite good. So it was a matter of just getting me connectivity. So it was one person instead of a dozen or two dozen. I just wanted to throw that out as the converse to the model of delivering distance education in the other direction.
Yeah.